Hey, how's it going? This is Beards and Brews movie reviews, where we watch a movie and then we drink about it. This week's movie is going to be 2004's Alien vs. Predator. That was the movie and the brew. I'm going to just shoot that off to Chandler. What do we got for tonight?
Tonight we've got Elysian Brewing Company out of Seattle, Washington with their Space Dust IPA. I feel like that would be appropriate for an Alien versus Predator type film.
There's a whole genre of Alien versus Predator.
Type. Like Freddy versus Jason in space.
I'd watch it. Hell, I like Jason X. I don't care what anybody says. It's stupid. It's fun.
The hologram scene, that's pretty good.
Oh, with the bastion of the sleeping bags.
Correct.
That's good stuff. All right, so opening thoughts as always. I'll shoot it back towards Chandler again, get him going. So AVP, as they say in the biz, what'd you think?
I thought it was pretty bad. I mean,
I'm glad we're on the same page.
no, it was a fun little walk through, but there were a lot of different things that I feel like really left.
It just left you wanting something different or wanting more.
It's like everything that I noted down was, it wasn't awful, but all the things together just made it not good. All kinds of just mediocre, like the acting,
Holy
the
shit, the
script,
acting.
the acting, the script, just little holes here and there. Just together add up into something that's not very good.
Well, let me just say that I wanted to love this movie. It has Alien, it has Predator. These franchises, to me, especially growing up, were amazing. You know, the creature effects, just all of it. And holy shit, when you finally get to see the two together, you're like, all right, here we go. Blamp. It's just a turd. Just a fucking turd. The highlight of this film are the special effects used on the alien. Not the predator, the alien. Especially the queen. She looks in fucking credible.
Oh yeah, I agree. But unfortunately, this movie is the cinematic equivalent of Purgatory. Got it.
There it is.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot really going on in this movie, and the movie does break a lot of rules when it comes to the lore of both Alien and Predator. Especially Predator, they hunt for prey. They do it for sport, and they murder a lot of people who are nowhere near the game, per se.
No.
It's
Like the opening scene in 1904, there's just an unarmed man running for his life, and the predator's like, "Nah, bitch, you're mine." I mean, what about this dude, a whaler? What about this whaler screams most dangerous fucker around?
He had one of those big whaling pointy sticks, whatever those are called.
A harpoon.
Harpoon?
That sounds about right. I mean, you're probably not wrong.
So I want to pick it up like right there at the beginning with the opening scene with the ice climbing. We
Oh,
both
yeah.
discussed this before.
Yeah, this is where they introduce the main character of the movie. That's this young woman who I suppose is some kind of ex-military, now mercenary per se. And she's just in Antarctica for whatever reason, just climbing a giant ice shelf, using her gear very horribly, if not at all.
So she has traditional climbing gear, carabiners, crampons, things like that, to, you know, make sure she doesn't fall from this thing she is climbing. But for those to be effective, you need a rope. And this lady has no rope, and she is clipping into things. It makes zero sense. And then when she reaches the top, there's nothing up there. So why in the hell was she climbing it to begin with when she's, man,
Just
movie.
for funsies.
Yeah, just like
Movie.
the ice itself, it's just very cool.
Yeah, so we get introduced to her getting picked up by the British henchman
No,
fellow.
Weyland Industries helicopter, which made zero noise whatsoever. Whatever.
Surprise helicopter.
Yeah,
Yeah.
surprise.
She gets to the top. We meet, you know, British dude, and then he gets his own little, I suppose, segment of him darting to the far corners of the world to gather up the most illustrious crew of archaeologists?
Scientists?
Yeah, some
Yeah, there's a
people.
little bit of everything. There's, you have the mercenary, the scientists, the I guess, muscle. Guy. But it's like a really fucking dumpster fire version of the Avengers. I mean, none of these people have personalities. None of them stick out any. They just have tiny quirks that range from stupid to annoying. Like, I don't remember anybody's name in this whole movie. No one's. No, except for Mr. Whalen himself. That's only because his character, not necessarily that actor, carries along like all the Alien franchise. I know who that is. Of course, you can't forget it. The giant W in the logo. Come on.
They slap it over everything to make sure that they get that tie-in.
It's true. When we have that whole meeting with everybody, it's in the middle of the floor, like an evil villain's lair. Like,
yes.
Like, why is that even there?
And he's in, like, a room that's maybe 50 by 50, and he's using a fucking mic. He flew these people from around the world just to ask if they would be interested.
He even said that he was going to pay them just to show up.
Just to show up. And it reminded me of Pete Holmes' Street Fighter. Whenever he's speaking to M. Bison, he's like, we're going to go broke because we're just flying these people to each other's home country just to, you know, fight. And then they got to fly back. It was ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. They could have done this over a phone call. Hey, you want to be a part of this? No? Okay, cool, whatever.
But he seems like the sort of like Richard Branson type to where that's just like, that's his ego. That's what he does.
Yeah, he even came out with his like little, what was it? His little Backstreet Boy microphone wrapped around his face. He started his expositioning before he was in frame. He starts speaking before he was in the room. Like, why?
He's a popular man. And we get introduced to, I guess, the people that we're supposed to care about. There's Pepsi bottle cap guy, which they never explained why.
Oh, that it's was kind of like a what's that that gentleman that that reporter Rivera?
Geraldo.
Yeah, like he made that big deal about, you know, Al Capone's whatever. It turned out to be a bunch of bullshit. It's kind of the same thing. I guess he's a reputable archaeologist. He found this thing. Turns out it was just like an old, I don't know, trash dump or whatever.
This guy, though, it's 2004 in real life, and they are using some of the worst overdubbing I have ever heard in my life. This guy sounds like Tommy Wiseau from The Room. He's like, hey, you guy, you know, we're going to that kind of count out more like Borat, but you know what I'm getting at. It was bad.
So how's your sex life?
Yeah. Okay, goodbye. I'm going to go get killed now.
You're my favorite customer.
Rawr. Bad. It was bad.
It's just like, it's a movie that took place and also made around 2003, 2004. But there's so many late 90s action and horror movie tropes. It's just shot the same way. Everybody acts the same way. You have that, like, everybody's just kind of a stereotype of a person, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, like I said earlier, there's no personality. They're just a list of traits they need to check off.
Completely. They gather all these people up. Of course, she's like, no, I'm reluctant because this is going to be tough, blah, blah, blah.
No.
They pull on her heartstrings. Yes. Eventually, they pull on her heartstrings enough to get her to sign on. And then they fly once again. I can't remember. I think it was Antarctica.
Oh, yeah. I wrote that down, that it was a current heading classified. Like, you had to tell us how off the charts it was. Fuck yeah. You. It's Antarctica. I can just point at it on a globe. Take for that, real. Flat Earthers.
Uh-oh. You've done alienated 3% of the audience.
Oh, crap.
The drill crew from Armageddon roll up on this 1904 shantytown to dig up Pumpkinhead for Ed Harley. You get this scene of cliff foreshadowing that serves absolutely no purpose other than to foreshadow the climax of the film.
They do briefly show the little water tower area.
Yeah.
And they show no importance at the time, so really, if you weren't paying too much attention, when that does happen at the end of the movie, it could have been whatever. Like, it didn't matter regardless.
We get a moment where Selfie Guy decides that he's going to go wander off into this little shanty town by himself, and you get that rattling noise where you're like, uh-oh, in your classic slasher movie, Jason, Freddy, something like that, a raccoon or a bunny rabbit, or even in Predator, a porcupine would kind of wander out, and then you'd be like, ha, no big deal. I got to see your notes, Eric. This made me happy. So what does, in fact, wander out instead of a raccoon?
Well, as you said, he's wandering around. Things are getting a little bit quiet. There's some noises poking around the corner. Ooh, what could it be? Oh, is it an alien? Is it a potato? Who knows what it is? Oh, it's a penguin. That's it. You just went.
Yep.
There you go.
There he is. Elijah Wood from Happy Feet.
See, when it comes to this kind of stuff, I like to call this filler. There was no point for him to wander off. You learn nothing about the location. There's no, like, learning the geography. It might come back later. No, this was just a jump scare. That's all. Because moments later, he'll get interrupted by the main character lady, who just doesn't even come out of nowhere. You see her walk up and just put her hand on his shoulder and just, ah! Oh. And that's horror. That's how you do it, folks. That's right in the rule books, right next to bullshit.
Is that how you do it?
So next we get a scene of Mr. Wayland himself getting caught hitting his quote-unquote medicinal bong.
yeah, he's got his little asthma vape pin.
I don't even understand.
I gotta get me some of that.
Yeah.
You know, they go on to talk about his lung problem, this, that, and the other. That'll come up later in the film. This inhaler that he is using looks almost like the Home Alone recording device that Macaulay Culkin used.
The Tommy boy.
Yeah, it looked like that. Nice. And then there's a giant tunnel leading down into the ice.
That tunnel was the result of a giant laser by the Predator ship, who had made an opening all the way from the surface of the ice to the, I guess, archaeological location buried underneath.
Bullshit, that's the remnants of an ancient McDonald's play place.
Those fellows, they begin descent down this tunnel, and of course, someone's got to fall, so who do they pick? Wayland.
The old dude.
Yeah, so he starts falling, and Tomb Raider saves his life in a very unimportant, like, they're trying to make you feel something, you know, the guy's trying.
I was just saying, the movie's just trying to keep us busy. Like, they're just trying to, like, shove us, like, oh, we know what you want to see, whatever, whatever. But we really don't get any time with these characters to even care about them at that point.
And here's the thing, there's all this filler here that we're talking about even so far, and this movie's only an hour and 40 minutes long, like...
Yeah, 100 minutes on the nose.
There could be so much more, but there's not.
So, they get to the bottom, there's a gigantic temple. To me, personally, it doesn't look Egyptian, it looks very Aztec, maybe Mayan, something like that. They reference that it has a little bit of each culture in its design, and that will be further explored a bit later in the film, whenever they decide to tell everyone that Predators were in fact the History Channel's ancient aliens. So, they go in, they're exploring, yada yada yada. Predator ship flies by. Poom, 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 shoots out three giant metal tampons to stop the ice's flow. Huh? Huh? Menstruation joke there. It just looks like a bad level out of, like, because this temple is clearly fake. They didn't use any of the, you know, especially for the walk-up. It looks like they pulled it right from a cutscene from Tomb Raider 2. It's awful.
Well, I mean, I agree with the whole, it looks more Aztecian than Egyptian or Cambodian. Like, they tried to say that's where the three cultures came from, but, I mean, they're nowhere near each other on the map, and it really makes no sense.
I think this movie could have been a movie that had nothing to do with aliens and or predators. I think it could have worked as a movie with yetis, almost like a cold version of Congo.
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
I think it would have worked better. But this is also the first glimpse that we get of the Queen, and holy shit, is that such a cool scene.
She wakes up and starts pooping out eggs.
Same.
She's covered in, like, frost. Her face drops down out of her elongated headpiece. It looks incredible. The only thing that I can fault is I get why they're shocking her, I guess, to make her lay the eggs, but the electricity looks terrible. And it.
I want to say it's just 2004 computer work. But man, later on in the movie, when the queen escapes, spoiler, it looks really good. Like, they know how to use the lighting and how little, or just enough, use just enough of the footage to where you're still buying it. You know, they don't hang on there too long or too little.
I'll tell you, I didn't know a whole lot about, like, this is just kind of a film that just passed me by whenever I was growing up. And, I looked to see who actually directed this. It was Paul Anderson. It's the same fella who was responsible for the Resident Evil franchise as well as Mortal Kombat. And you can really tell. It's that level of, like,
absolutely. Tell. I mean, this man single-handedly is the reason why Mila Jovovich has a career.
At this point, they're exploring, they find a sacrificial chamber. Some of the eggs have come up on conveyor belts, this type of thing. They find the Predator's guns, and the Predator's find out somehow, I guess, on their home security device that shows up on their wrist gauntlet. And the predators, of course, start predatoring. There is a scene where...
That's what they're gonna do.
Yeah, they're chasing this guy who falls down the giant ice tunnel. And they get to the bottom, and the guy's sitting there, and he's damn near froze to death, covered in frost and whatnot. And two of the predators look right at him. You know, the classic, he can't see me, Arnold Schwarzenegger thing, where he's covered in the mud. And they walk by him, and he's like, oh, shit. And then the third predator walks up, looks at him, this unarmed man, by the way, and just murders him. It hurts. Like, I want to enjoy this movie. And number one, when I see these predators, I don't get it, because they don't look big. They're not so tall. They're bulky. They look like
linebackers. They're really stocky, yeah.
I was going to say, they just look like pro wrestlers. You pulled them out of the WWE.
Yeah. They're just
put them in a costume and that's it.
They don't move like a predator. They look like they're struggling in that suit.
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up. They look very wide. They don't need to be. I feel like everything's just too bulky for them. Like, they have, like, football shoulder pads on the whole time, and they're just trying to walk, and they look like they have, like, something shoved up their ass.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of Brock Lesnars.
Yeah. I can get them. They're going to F5 these aliens. And the funny part is, whenever there is alien versus predator fight shit, it is very WWE. He's not using, you know, a lot of anything besides his body to toss this creature around.
There's like even a helicopter spin in one of the little fights. It's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. So they get down there, and for whatever reason, once they take the guns, I guess that's the start of laser tag here in the Predator Temple, and it starts to shift. So they take these guns out, and all this place becomes like a maze of shifting corridors and doorways.
Yeah, it's a huge mess.
Man, as soon as this started happening, all I could picture was General Akbar from Star Wars. It's a trap! And then you get the Super Saiyan lady who invokes the Second Amendment, and she's talking about her guns and condoms. You just can't like these people. You can't. I'm just struggling to care for them, and I don't.
Yeah. Well, with movies like this, especially with this particular director, you have basically like a Jesus character who's never going to get touched. And the rest of them are just cannon fodder, just whatever. They're there to fill time and just up the kill count, so it's whatever.
These guys, when they originally show up, you see one person, and she's got a gun. That's it. But as soon as they think things are going bad, they have these suitcases that they've been carrying that they literally hold the handle of and shake real hard, and it turns into a gun. Kind of cool, kind of not cool, but whenever they did it, all I could think was Clarence Boddicker from RoboCop going, guns, 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 you know?
it's kind of like a really shitty Fifth Element gun, you know, the one that like kind of unfolded from the package.
Yeah.
But just like a million times worse. And a million times less Gary Oldman.
Yeah, it's not a Manuel T. Zorg. So they pull these guns out, and, you know, they start being people. There's a scene where a guy gets garroted with an invisible rope. I was like, I guess that's cool.
I thought it was pretty cool.
Predator's standing there pretending to be a statue. He's pretending to be... He's got a spear getting ready to throw it and kill a man. The man looks at him with the spear cocked back like, what's up? Looks away, comes back, and he's like, yeah, you saw me, and throws the spear. <It's> like, really? Like, this is what we're doing?
I was just going to say, like, none of these people have any IQ whatsoever. This whole movie just runs on stupidity, just from beginning to end. It just makes no sense.
But no, I mean, they're scientists. They know all about, they're the best of the best of the best.
They're not all scientists. Some of them are just grunts. They're just there to be, like, bodyguards, and you kind of think, like, oh, what are they going to do, like, be like throw a coup or something and like take over everything, because that's what I thought was going to happen. But it turns out no, this movie doesn't know what to do with anybody.
They're just there. So we get an amazing scene of the aliens that, once again, you know, they look great. They hide them in the darkness, and they pull a Jurassic Park, and this guy's like getting ready to shoot one, and the alien comes up from the side, and you're like, oh, Jurassic Park. And to not be outdone or upstaged by Jurassic Park, not only does one come from the left, but then, oh, guess what? One comes from the right. And it's just like the Jurassic Park scene with the raptor. And they kill Chibs from Son of Anarchy, a.k.a. Tommy Flanagan.
Good old Chibs.
Yeah. The main character, during a scuffle, gets field goal kicked by a predator. And he just immediately gets killed like a chump. Just tail right through the chest. Done. You get a really drawn-out fight scene this is the first time where you really get to see the Predators finally engaging with the aliens.
Yes.
And
I was gonna say, can we talk about that? Like,
oh yeah,
before it pops up, I just want to throw out there that both the alien and the predator are very strong creatures. How they're presented, it's either plus or minus. Like, it doesn't make the movie is so inconsistent of how either strong or how killable they are, I guess. Yeah. You know, because you have one scene where this alien is getting its shit pushed in, thrown around like a rag doll. But in just like a moment before that, a predator's taking like five or six out with a shoulder cannon, just one after another with perfect precision. Like, it makes no sense.
Yeah. We get this big drawn out fight scene with Swole Predator and the soon to be grid head alien who makes his return in the film three or four times.
I like to call him Grill Marks.
He looks great. The scene for this movie is fun. It's definitely a high point. They bust through walls, they do all kinds of crazy shit. You actually get to see some predator tech, like the gauntlet blades get used, the alien throws some of his blood, there's some roaring, which bothers me because he sounds like a tiger, and then he dies, and now we have two dead predators and lots of aliens. You get introduced to the next predator, I suppose, the third and final predator, the only one.
The final girl.
Yeah, he's it. He's the big hero, I suppose.
That's the one that we care about.
Yep.
Yeah.
Until he takes off his mask. Holy fuck.
We'll give him a name. What's a real alien
Chuckles.
Name? I was gonna say something like Peterson, like really like run of the mill.
It's bad, man. So Lance Hendrickson is like, get out of here, I'll stall for time, you know, because I'm Lance Hendrickson. He claims his rightful place of the second of only two men alongside Bill Paxton to be killed by both or all three of the Predator, the aliens, and the Terminator. So in my opinion, he did this movie just for that. Or at least that's what I'll tell myself.
For a hot minute, I was just like, oh, he got killed by a Terminator. It's like, oh, yeah, he was a cop at the police station. He gets blown away when Arnold comes in with those little Uzis.
And in Alien, he is Bishop, and he is torn in half by the Queen, which is a really cool scene.
Yeah.
Then you get that Predator who decides to finally kill him, even though he didn't want to since he had lung disease, but whatever.
He's got the tuberculosis.
Just like our good friend Doc Holliday in our previously reviewed film. So,
what was that? What was that line that he said so eloquently, Chandler?
I'm your Huckleberry.
Oh man, just gonna
every time
that later
goes down my spine.
So, the Predator, he's got to fight an alien, and he kills it no problem, and he kills a facehugger no problem. And then from a two-way mirror in the next room, the main hero or heroine and Tommy Wiseau watch as he breaks off a piece of this creature and burns some marks into his face.
I had some issue with that because he took out a whole alien creature, the whole fucking thing. But instead of going to the xenomorph and getting a piece of that or whatever, he just breaks off a leg like a crab leg off this facehugger and then burns his face with that. Like, that's a bigger trophy than this entire fucking alien? Like, are you kidding me?
That's where the best meat is. It's in the crab leg.
So, as he's standing up, another facehugger, comes out of nowhere and jumps on him. It cuts to black and follows the heroine and this other fellow as they try to escape from the aliens.
This is more filler, too, watching them fart around and figure out how the walls work.
Ugh. The jump scene. I discussed this with Eric while we were at work one day and how much it absolutely bothered me. They jump across a chasm, you know, the classic chunk of bridge, nothing in the middle. Well, they run and jump, and it looks like something out of the Matrix.
It looks pretty bad, yeah. I mean, even the angle of the shot is a little bit like isometric. You know, it's just like this really weird decision to have these two different, like, they're obviously one, you know, having the actors jump on like a green screen room and everything else is rendered around them. It just looks really bad. It just looks
awful.
And you can kind of tell that they didn't know like the geography of things because they make the jump, it totally looks like they're going to miss. And then it's like a quick cut to them grabbing the ledge.
Female lands, and the bricks start falling away under her feet, and she's like stepping on them and, you know, coming up like they were there long enough man, it's video game nonsense.
Very video game.
You platform one block to another block as they fall. No, you just fall with it. Anyways, the Pepsi Cola necklace man. Oh, guess what? He gets drug away by an alien. While the heroine of this film steals a scene from the Alien franchise of Ripley pulling herself up into a duct, she does almost the exact same thing, pulling herself up on this bridge. It's lost because you're like, oh, I kind of see the reference, but I don't care enough because this is shit. And no joke, Freddy vs. Jason has a scene where, you know, the last girl, the heroine of the film or whatever, is standing there, and then the camera pans sideways and it has Jason standing in the background with his head kind of cocked to the side. This movie
is
exactly that with a Predator.
Yeah, that Predator has it look like, girl, and it's just why is it in there?
This is just painful. I want to love this because it should have been good. But there he is. He's going to kill her. And she's like, oh, no, don't. I'll get on my knees and slide this gun to you. She gives him his arm cannon. Huzzah. He's finally got his plasma caster. He puts it on. He snarls like a tiger. Exactly like a tiger. It's not even in any way, shape, or form altered to maybe sound a little different. No, it's just like a fucking tiger. And good thing, because as soon as he gets his cannon, guess what? Here's a whole hallway of fodder to shoot.
Yeah.
It comes running down the hall. He's like, pew, 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 I kill y'all. Yeah,
he's just playing tower defense now.
Yeah, it's, again, a scene that could have been really cool, but it wasn't. But, you know, the CG there really shines. The aliens, again, look amazing, to even strengthen your point earlier, saying that they know how to use the lighting. They know how to use the CG.
Like I said earlier, they're just really easy to kill. Like, they could have done that the whole time.
Yeah.
You know?
The lady, or I'm sorry, not the lady, the Predator is standing there. And as quick as he gets the cannon, he loses it. An alien jumps down, knocks it off his shoulder. That's it. Game over for the cannon.
Nerfed.
Yeah, it just... Brrr. He drops his spear. The heroine picks it up. An alien leaps at her out of fear. She literally, in the scene, closes her eyes and is screaming like, no! Puts the spear up and then impels itself. Much as, like, if a Native American were to hunt a bear, they would, you know, put the spear down, let the bear rise up, roar, and then drop its body weight onto the spear, killing itself. She does exactly that, just with fear, not with like fervor. She's not like, I got this, yeah. She's just like, no. And then the Predator knights her like she's something special. He goes over and he's like,
and I had a huge problem with that too, because that's horse shit. How did she have like get better treatment than Dutch from the first Predator, who was like a worthy adversary, and all she did was fucking luck into an alien kill? Fuck you.
It's nonsense.
Tell me how you really feel, Eric.
She stabs this thing and it's right up against her and it can't kill her. Come on. Its hands aren't restrained. It's not trying to slash at her. It's trying to use its secondary mouth. And it's just like, wachy, wachy, wachy. And they make it sound just like if somebody took a video game sample of someone with a sword going ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. It sounds terrible.
Ka-choo.
Absolutely terrible.
And my favorite part about that is, like, she's standing there and looking at the Predator and asks, what are you doing? Like, he's going to have a fucking intelligent conversation with her.
I guess I ended up just doing my thing. You know, I'm going to take this alien and turn it into something good for you.
Yeah, I even wrote that down in my notes. Like, what the fuck? He can't talk.
Yeah, so he makes her a spear and a shield, but it makes no sense why that he's like, you know what? Here's you a spear and a shield. Do what you can. So she has these items, and they move to, you know, I suppose, wipe out the rest of the aliens, get out of there, yada, yada, yada. I don't know how she's holding this thing, because the inside of it should be acid.
Yeah, can we go over how, like, the alien had to show her, like, how the acid didn't affect the, like, the shell or whatever? Like, it was, like, a Thursday science class or something.
And he's like, look, cool.
Look, drip, 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 nothing happens. Drip, drip, drip on the ground, something happens. It's just like, duh?
Oh, like, that makes sense. This is completely normal.
Bill! She gets that, and the next scene we find that Tommy Wiseau isn't dead. He is merely put into the wall, and she has just been gifted this spear and this shield that she immediately lays down. Like, he took the time to make this shit for nothing. She's like, huh? Nope, fuck this stuff. Puts it down and picks up a gun from the floor that at this point should have maybe like a round in it, maybe. And then we get one of the most ridiculous scenes I've ever seen in a movie. She has to kill her buddy. It's supposed to be dramatic. Definitely not. A chest burster springs out. Rawr! The predator catches it midair and snaps its neck with his thumb.
That's just how much of a badass he is.
Rawr! Just reminded me of the scene where Arnold Schwarzenegger snaps a pencil in half, I think, in
Kindergarten Cop.
Yeah. Next, we got the queen. She's free. Yay! They make her bleed to get her loose.
They made her bleed her own blood just so she could be freed from these chains of slavery.
Man, like, I want people to watch this, not because it's a good movie or not because it's a bad movie because it's bad. I want them to watch it if they love these franchises or if they've seen these franchises and they follow this stuff and just ask themselves, why? Why couldn't this have been something amazing?
Well, I mean, these this is like definitely pre-cinematic universes. So these versus movies aren't really an old idea at this point. There have been comic books of Alien vs. Predator for years and years and years. And when it finally gets this adaptation, it's so flat, just all across the board. It's just like
it was really well intentioned. I feel like it was well intentioned, but like everything about it was poorly executed.
That's very good.
100%. There's care in the monsters. You can see they put love, especially to the aliens. I really feel like this was an alien-heavy film. The fellow who directed and that kind of thing was like, make sure the aliens look good. The predators, I don't give a shit. The aliens, they got to be something special. Because, man, when they're on the screen, their presence is incredible. So, the predator, doot, 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 hits his little buttons. Takes his little bomb off, throws it in with all the eggs. Because he's like, fuck this place. And then we get an 80s action movie cliche of outrunning an explosion like it's John McClane from Die Hard.
Nice.
They run, boop, 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 boop. It's about to blow up. It keeps showing the little, you know, the Predator countdown timer. They jump on this damn sled as the aliens try to attack them, and they shoot up the tunnel as the fireball comes out with them, and they shoot.
That's fucking Cool Runnings.
Ooh, nice. In reverse.
Absolutely.
They survive. Yay. And the Predator takes his mask off for the big kiss scene. It looks awful compared to the earlier films. It absolutely does.
We've discussed this off the cast, that they try to make it more friendly looking because he's technically the good guy right now.
I guess. It just... Man, oh man.
But he straight up looks like an anus. Like a straight up butthole.
It's bad. It's like Spencer's quality. Like, if you went to the local Halloween store and was like, what's your $20 Predator mask look like?
They'd be like, no. And you see that poor kid's like, look, Daddy, I'm a Predator. And you're like, you sure are, kid.
Yeah, it's good for you. It's not good for us who care. But then it's time for the main event, because everything else got blew up. But the queen, she makes it out. Yeah, you get this Predator versus Queen, which, again, should have been amazing, but I've got written in all caps, scribbled under in my notes, really disappointing and short-lived, as the Predator here, he gets impaled by the tail. Before we get to that, though, let me just bring up the fact that our heroine in this is now wearing a tank top and pants, in Antarctica, and there is zero problem with that for her. This is the place where she personally describes that you will freeze to death basically instantly if you aren't
prepared. Before all of this started, you could see like the windstorm going on. It was a blizzard.
Yes. A blizzard, cold location. Also, it's the middle of the night.
You know, whatever. It's not cold.
It's probably negative.
Oh, negative a lot.
Negative a lot.
And so the fight commences, and it's not cool, it's not amazing. The Predator does this weird jump spinny thing through the air, a la Mortal Kombat, stabs the Queen in the head, and she's like, bleh! while the lady hides under a water tower, and the predator hooks up her chains to the water tower, and they shove the water tower off the cliff, but again, not before the predator gets impaled, and right before he's killed, yeah. Of course, it's slung off, lands in the snow with a snowy pillow. Go back and look at it. Under the predator's head, there's a fucking pillow, and it's just...
Well, he's not dead. He's just taking a nap. That's all, kids. He's not really dead. Stop crying! Oh, no.
Taking a space nap. The queen gets pulled off that cliff, and she falls into the ocean. Now, this scene looks really cool. And I thought it was kind of neat, almost like an homage to Aliens, whenever the queen gets sucked out into space. Instead of getting sucked into, like, starry space, she's getting sucked down into the deep depths of the ocean. Instead of stars, you get bubbles. And again, you know, to even further drive your point home of the CG and the use of it, the bubbles look cool. She looks real as she is pulled down. And then it pans back to those two. Like, it's like a weird, uncomfortable love scene. Like, she, you know,
Brady, you're a huge Predator fan, so this was supposed to be a treat.
Well, I mean, the only redeeming thing for the Predators in this is whenever the elder Predator comes off his ship, old Whisker Face or whatever.
Predator Sam Elliott. We'll just put that out there.
Ooh, okay.
I was gonna go with Burt Reynolds, but okay.
So he comes out. And he hands the lady, you know, the classic, here you go, you've been marked, you killed an alien, here's a spear. Good for you. They load the Deadeater onto their ship, and we get treated to the big chest burster scene with the hybrid Predator-Alien sequel bait.
Yeah, what was it called? Predalien or something?
Yeah, Predalien. And then the tagline was, whoever wins, we lose. And they are 100% right, because Jesus... I don't even know who won, but I definitely lost for having to have watched this. Fuck this movie.
Oh, I was going to say, to me, this is like the third sequel of Indiana Jones if the franchise started with Kingdom of the Crystal Skull and degraded from there.
Oh, my. Oh, man.
Chandler, I want to kick it over to you with our brew review.
All right. What I've been drinking the entire time that we've been talking is Elysian Brewing Company's Space Dust IPA. It's an 8.2% IPA from Seattle, Washington. It's a fairly hop-forward IPA, really aggressive.
Did you go to get this?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Did you go to Seattle to get this?
No, I went to Kroger to get this.
Ah, now, was this the regular Kroger, or was this the, in fact, Gucci Kroger?
This was the fanciest Kroger that we have around here.
I enjoy that. If anyone is listening to this in West Virginia, you know where Gucci Kroger is, all right?
But
it's like a statewide inside joke. Pepperoni rolls, everybody, am I right?
Tooters? Y'all got Tooters?
But sorry to interrupt you, Chandler.
Oh, no, I was just going to say it's a fairly aggressive IPA. It's fine. It's got lots of pine notes and citrus notes. They bill it using Chinook and Citra hops. I don't know why for the Space Dust IPA they don't use Galaxy hops. It seems like that should have been like a shoe-in, but I don't know. Who am I?
Now, when you say aggressive, can you elaborate on what you mean? Does that mean like it bites you in the face? What is it doing?
Yeah,
there's a little bit of face biting.
Did this beer
here.
Bully you? Do we have to kick some ass tonight?
There's a little bit of face biting, a little bit of face hugging, actually.
Ooh.
It's fine. It's not my favorite IPA. It's okay.
Alrighty, so that was Alien vs. Predator from 2004. As I mentioned earlier, it was definitely a waste of time.
Tagline, whoever wins, we lose. Yes, we lost. Fuck this movie. But thank you for the special effects of the aliens. They looked incredible.
I thought it was bad, but I enjoyed actually watching it, I guess.
And that'll be that for tonight. You can find us at Beards Brewscast at Twitter. Go ahead and follow us for any kind of updates. And, of course, here at Podbean. And thank you for listening, guys.
Yay! Bye!